بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآل الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات البعد وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We studied lesson 12 about different reasons for deviation, and then there are few lessons that might not be necessary for us. You can study yourself. Now, there was a time that because Marxism and materialism were very much discussed, so Dr. Obispo has some discussion here about materialism and then about dialectics. But I don't think we need it now. You can read it yourself. We go to lesson 16.
Oh, you skipped the
semester. Yes. So second semester, start with lesson 16. Okay. This lesson is about Tawheed, about unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unity of God, or monotheism, salam alaykum. The beginning is about opposite to Tawheed, which is Shirk, polytheism. And Ayatollah Mesbah says that there are different views about when this started, how it started. There are different theories, but it's not possible to prove, which one is correct. And it doesn't that much matter for us, which was the main, reason for having polytheism. But whatever was the case, belief in God has always been with mankind. And even those who associated some partners to God, those who believed in shirk or polytheism, still they believed in God. But maybe they were not able to have a proper understanding of God. Sometimes this even happened to followers of some religions. First, for example, the Prophet called for belief in Tawheed. But over time, if you are not careful, then some traces of shirk can get involved, and then after some time they may become even idol worshippers. For example, what happened to people of Quraysh. The people of Quraysh, the genealogy goes back to Prophet Ibrahim. Quraysh, they go back to Prophet Ibrahim. But before Islam, they reached the point that they were worshipping idols, although still they were in charge of Kaaba. So Kaaba, which was built by Ibrahim as a place for Tawheed, became a place in which they kept their idols. It's opposite to the original purpose. Or for example, we have about Bani Israel, that as soon as they crossed the river or sea, whatever, whether it was Nile or Red Sea, they saw there are people who are worshipping idols. We discussed this, I think, once. So they said, Musa alayhi salam, اجعل لنا إلهاً كما لهم آلهة. So Bani Israel, their origin is Ya'qub alayhi salam. And Ya'qub, of course, is son of Ishaq. Ishaq is also son of Prophet Ibrahim. So what happened to Quraysh? go back to Ibrahim, also happened to Bani Israel. They said, you know, we want to have an idol. اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. Of course, Musa alayhi salam didn't listen to them, but then they themselves managed to do it when Musa was away in the time of Samiri. Yeah? So, it seems that shirk is a kind of deviation from Tawheed. It's a kind of secondary situation. First, there's Tawheed in a pure way, then traces of shirk, then it becomes obvious shirk, like worshipping idol. Even, you know, the pagans, despite having, you know, these idols, the Quran says, if you ask them, why do you worship these idols? And sa'altahum. Sorry. If you ask them, who has created the skies and the earth? They would say, God has created the skies. لَإِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. So, and if you ask them, so why you are doing this? What is the purpose of worshipping idols? مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We don't worship them except because we want them to take us closer to God. Okay? So they, you see, there is Tawheed. So shirk should not be taken as a sign of people having no faith. Yeah? It was, again, going back to belief in God. And Ayatollah Mesbah says, maybe one reason for shirk was people were not able, or some people were not able, to explain why there is a kind of complexity in the world, a kind of diversity in the world. If God is one, why we see, for example, good things happening and bad things happening? You know, some people were not able to explain this. They believed we have two gods. God for good things and God for bad things. Okay? For example, in Zoroastrianism, it's commonly believed. Although now there are Zoroastrians who say we believe also in Tawheed. But what was common was that they have Ahura Mazda, which is God for good things. And they have Ahriman, which is God for bad things. Because they had the idea that there are bad things, there are evil things, and they cannot be created by God, so they have different creator. So we have two creators, creator of good things, creator of bad things. What is the root and basis of this problem? They are not able to explain how two opposite things can be created by God. Yeah? Or there were people who thought that sometimes we have rain. Sometimes we have, for example, I don't know, wind. Sometimes we have, I don't know, sunshine. Or, for example, we want to have children. They thought these are too diverse to be done by one Lord. So we should have separate Lords. Again, you know, they are not able to explain that this diversity can be coming from one person. So there is a God responsible, for example, for rain. God responsible for having children. God responsible for, I don't know, having good harvest. God responsible for victory in war. You know, Greek people had lots of gods and goddesses. Yeah. So the root of the problem is they are not able to explain how the same God who is the creator of the whole world can run everything and can manage everything. And then the author says sometimes also some rulers, some people who have power and position, were benefiting from this polytheistic ideas. It was beneficial for them, so they were encouraging people. For example, you know, even if you look at Quraysh, for Quraysh, idols were not just God and lords. It was also a source of income, yeah? Because people were coming to Mecca, you know, worshipping those idols, you know, coming for pilgrimage, all these things, doing lots of business. Even, you know, they had this rule that if you come to Mecca for pilgrimage, you cannot use your own dress. You have to buy a dress in Mecca. Otherwise, you have to do tawaf nakedly. So the reason they did tawaf nakedly was because they didn't buy dress from Mecca. So this is all business, yeah? So for them to stop believing in these idols and believing one God was not just a theological matter. Was also a loss in their business, you know, and their power. Because having control over holy places, it's not only money, it's also giving you power and respect and position. Yeah? If you are in control of holy places. So they were not trying, they were trying not to lose this position also. Or sometimes, you know, for example, some tyrants thought that by presenting themselves as some kind of god or deity, they can control people, like Pharaoh. Pharaoh was saying that there are different gods, and I am your greatest one. Ana rabbukumul a'la. I am your greatest god. So, first of all, it means that there are many gods. Second is that I am the greatest one. So you have to listen to me. Even he reached the point that he said, "Ma alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri." He said, to be honest, I don't see any other god for you. It's only me. So he was not even satisfied to be the greatest god. He said, it's only me. Okay? So for sure, there is a political interest here. It's not a theological issue, it's a political interest. Because if people believe that he is the greatest God or the only God, then wholeheartedly they would follow him. You know, even in our time, we had this idea that, you know, for example, some kings, you know, introduce themselves as shadow of God. Zillullah, their shadow of God. It means that if you want to be under God's shadow and protection, you have to obey them. So, there are also sometimes political reasons, but no matter what is the reason and, you know, what type of, you know, polytheism is there, even these people believe in God, but in a mistaken way. Just today, I had a discussion with a person, and he was insisting that the majority of people in the world are atheists. And I was, you know, curious to know why. And he was saying that the majority of people in the world, they don't believe in God that we believe in. So they don't believe in God. They are atheists. Even he was insisting that, for example, you know, Christians don't believe in God because their God is different. And I said, no. First of all, Christians believe in one God. They consider themselves as monotheists. They believe in one God. If you read the Bible in Arabic, when it was one, you know, the Bible mentions God. It doesn't say God. It says Allah. God is the term in English. In every language, they may have different names. But even Christians and Jews, when they want to refer to God in Arabic, they say Allah. Okay? Even if, for example, there are people who are not following Abrahamic religions, they still may believe in the same God. But then he was saying that, but it's different from the God that we understand. I said, it's the same God, but we have different understandings of the same God. I said, for example, if you look at Imam Ali alayhi salam, this is the discussion we have just today after Salat al-Zuhr. So I said, if you look at Imam Ali alayhi salam, some people doubted Imam Ali even saying prayer when Imam was, you know, in the masjid and, you know, received that strike. Some people said, why Ali was in masjid? Is Ali saying prayer? Some people were cursing Imam Ali for many years, you know, this continued till time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And some people believe in Imam Ali as their Imam or as fourth Khalifa. Two opposite views about Imam Ali. So do they believe in the same person or they believe in different persons? Are they talking about different people or they're talking about the same person? He said, no, they are talking about the same person, but those people have immature understanding of Ali. I said, okay, so those people who don't have monotheistic understanding of God, they are talking about the same God, but they have immature understanding, mistaken understanding. It's not right, and it's not useful to insist that our God is different from God of Christianity or Judaism. Others. Why you want to insist that this different God? No, it's the same God. This is better. Even Quran says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْءٍ. Come to a common word between us. Not to worship anyone other than God. And not to, you know, take any of our, you know, scholars or leaders as partners. So, what is the common word that the Quran is inviting to? To believe in one God. It means that they believe in one God. Otherwise, Quran cannot say this is a common word. Yeah? It says, كَلِمَةً سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. It means that you also believe in this. So, if they don't believe in the same God, so what does it mean that this is common word? So, this is very important that people believe in the same God, but maybe in different ways. Even some Muslim scholars, some mystics, like Ibn Arabi, they had the idea that even idol worshippers, they worshipped the same God, but mistakenly. They were not worshipping that piece of wood or plaster or, you know, clay. They wanted to worship the same God. Even they go further. Not only they have not worshipped anyone other than God, even no one has loved anyone other than God. Even he mentions that if, for example, someone loves Zainab and Su'ad, if someone is a lover of a lady, the Arabi says, indeed, he's a lover of God. But mistakenly, think that this woman is a solution for all, for example, things that he did. This woman is, you know, what can fully satisfy him. And you see that what happens is that when a person, you know, those who are really lovers, not, you know, false lovers, There are people who claim that they love, but those who really love, like Layli and Majnun, you know Layli and Majnun?
Yeah.
So Layli and Majnun, or you know, we have Khosrow and Shirin. These are examples of someone really loving a woman. Okay? Really. But many of people who say, you know, I love you, you know, these are rubbish, you know. It's just, you know, a claim. Those who really love someone, when they wake up, the first thing they remember is their beloved. When they go to bed, the last thing they forget is their beloved. When they are sleeping, they dream of their beloved, and when they are awake, they are thinking about their beloved. So day and night is always thinking about the beloved. Even it is said that when Majnun was killed and his blood came out, his blood wrote Layla or Layli. Okay? It shows that love, if it is real love, is very powerful. Real love can, you know, make a person totally mad. You cannot have normal life. But this real love, okay, is not necessarily true love. This is what they call it, ishq majazi. It's real, I mean, real in the sense that the person really loves that person, but it is majazi. It's not true. Because the true love can only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? But some mystics say that these people who fall in love with a human being, for them, it's a good experience of them loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you fall in love with someone, that love purifies you. You lose yourself. You lose your ego. You only think about your beloved. Okay? You just have made a mistake that you think your beloved is that person. It needs a surgery. Take that person and put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? This is very much helpful. If someone...
I don't think the ladies will agree.
If someone has this experience, but this is not recommendable. Why? Why? Because many people may remain in this. So we cannot recommend people first fall in love with someone and then I do a surgery and I fix you to God. It's not recommendable. But if this happens, it's helping for some people that have had this experience, because they really know what does it mean love. They forget themselves. They, you know, for them, you know, personal pleasure, comfort, nothing is important. They are only thinking about the beloved. Okay? For us, if we have not had any such experience, then we cannot imagine what does it mean to love God. You know? So, we don't recommend anyone to fall in love with someone. But, if this has happened to someone, then it's the time to think that why I should not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is more beautiful than my beloved, who is more kind than my beloved, more endurable than my beloved. Yeah, you don't need to hate your beloved, but you should know that this is not enough. We should go beyond. You may have heard the story of Gohar Shad.
No.
Yeah.
You know the Masjid Gohar Shad in Mashhad.
Yeah.
This is a lady. Gohar Shad was a princess, and she was the sponsor of that masjid. It is said that when they were building that masjid, you know, she was sometimes going and visiting. She wanted to see how they, you know, are. One worker fell in love. You know, love, unfortunately, has no logic. Doesn't, you know, think that, can I marry that person or not? That's a princess. You are a simple worker, but, you know, he fell in love. So, somehow, he raised this issue to her. And she was very kind. She didn't say no. She said, you have to do several things. And then, inshallah, after that, for example, you know, we can marry or we can think about it. Some, I don't know what exactly she said. So, she said that you must, for example, do some time, tahajjud, you know, ibadah, this type of things. Then you get ready, then we can marry. So this person said, okay. So, in the early stage, he was doing all things in order to reach that lady. But then, gradually, he started enjoying. Talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of night, you know, when, you know, there is no disturbance. Getting the pleasure from ibadah. Gradually, that became more and more. Then, when that period finished, Gohar Shad said, okay, what happened? He said, now I have found someone else. I am not, you know, thinking of marrying you. So this is the way that love can sometimes be useful. Yeah? Sometimes it can be useful, this love for a human being. In any way, what is important is that we as human beings cannot be satisfied by anything or anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? It's only Allah that can satisfy us. And it is only Allah that can satisfy us when we have Him. There are things that are very attractive when we don't have them. When we have them, then gradually they lose the attraction and then they become boring and sometimes then we start hating them. Yeah? Sometimes a person, for example, says, if I don't marry this girl, I'm going to kill myself. And they are, you know, honest. They can, you know, kill themselves. They really can kill themselves. Sometimes, you know, they commit suicide. Or some people, you know, kill the girl. Because they are mad. They don't understand. There are stories of people who wanted the girl, and when they were not given that girl, they killed themselves, or they killed that girl, or, you know, they put, you know, that girl into trouble.
Yeah.
There are many cases. Okay. But the same people, if it happens that they marry that girl, do you think they will have a very nice life? Not necessarily. Sometimes after a few weeks, problems start. But then he doesn't, you know, have the courage to say to people, I have problem. He cannot say anyone, because he was saying to his parents, you know, if I don't get this girl, I'm going to kill myself. So he cannot say anything. But then the problem increases and increases, then after some time he just starts shouting, I don't want this. And sometimes, you know, divorce can happen. So when we love something or someone, it can be also something. For example, you love money. And then if you have been given all the money that you want, then many people happens that they say, oh, there is no attraction. I have everything. You know, there are many people who commit suicide and some of them are very rich.
Yes.
The people who are poor, normally they think that if they have a good house, if they have a good car, if they have, you know, well-paid, you know, job, life becomes very beautiful. Okay? So because they have this hope, they don't commit suicide. But the people who have all these things and there is nothing else, then they say, why I should be still, you know, living? So sometimes you see people who are very rich and affluent, either they commit suicide or they have lots of psychological problems. Because there is nothing that can give them attraction. Those who don't have these things, the hope and desire gives them energy to carry on. Yeah? The same is with people. If you don't have your beloved, you have desire and yearning and you want to reach. But when you have what you want, then everything loses attraction. This is why they say that in unreal or untrue love, the killer of love is what? Is vesal. Vesal. Vesal means connection, meeting. Vesal means connection, meeting. When love is unreal, the killer of love is to meet your beloved. After some time you see, oh, I made mistake. But if it's real love, like love for, I mean, of course it's the only case, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or love, loving some qualities of Allah, for example, someone loves knowledge, which is a quality of Allah, and finally leads to Allah. When you meet, it's not killing love. When you meet, your love it actually increases. Because there is always something more to know about Allah. There is also something more beautiful to discover. Yeah? And also, true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone, for example, this is also something that, you know, one alim said something nice. He said, you know, look, these people who say, oh, Imam Zaman, I want to see you, you know, let me see you even for one moment, you know. I'm going to, you know, give everything, just have one glance, okay? You will say many of these people, if they have the chance of being for Imam Zaman for some time, gradually the interest goes down. The first day they are very excited. The second day it goes down. After some time, say, okay, it's enough to see him once a day. Then he was saying that after some time they stretch their leg in front of Imam Zaman. This is what people have done to other masumin. You shouldn't think that we are, you know, different. Now we have this, you know, zealot and, you know, eagerness because we don't see Imam. But those who are real lovers of Imam, if they see Imam all day and night, this would not reduce their eagerness. Indeed, they become more and more eager. Those who are real lovers, those who know the quality of Imam, appreciate the quality of Imam. But there are people who know, who say, Imam Zaman, we want to see you because it has become like a kind of, you know, fashion. Everyone says, oh, Imam Zaman, I want to see you. So that I can tell people I have seen Imam Zaman. Or I can tell myself that, Alhamdulillah, I have seen my Imam. But if it's a real matter of knowing Imam, understanding Imam, you will never lose your interest. So it's very important that if love is a real love, it's based on understanding, on knowledge, on good qualities, then when you reach the real beloved, it must not decrease. It must remain and become stronger and stronger. Okay. I expanded here, but let's go back to the book. The discussion here is about Tawheed. There are, as you know, different types of Tawheed and different arguments. Ayatollah Misbah first makes an argument for Tawheed, and then he mentions different types of Tawheed. As an argument for Tawheed, he says, we have many different beings, many different creatures, okay? There are three possibilities in the first place, but we will say that only one of them is correct. One possibility is to say that, okay, we have many different creatures. These different creatures are created by several gods. It means that each of us has several gods, or all of us have several gods, several creators. The second possibility is that we say, no. There are different groups of creatures, and each of them have their own god. It's not that every creature has several gods. We have several gods, but each god had its own creation. So part of this world belongs to one god, another part to another god, like this. You understand the difference? The third is to say, we have one God for all creatures. Okay? The first possibility is wrong. Why? Because we cannot imagine one creature belonging to several creators. If you really understand what does it mean to be a creator, you remember we were talking about al-illatul mufidah, originating cause, the one who gives existence. Not al-illatul i'dadiyah, not the one which prepares. Yeah? You remember the difference? For example, we said father, mother, builder, these are al-illatul i'dadiyah. But the one that gives existence, okay? The one that gives existence cannot be two or three. Because if there are two or three, it means that they are giving two, three existence or beings. So it means that we have different creatures, different beings, not one. Everyone has one existence. How many beings are there? You have one existence. One existence can come from one creator. Okay? So we cannot have several creators and each of them creating us. It's not possible. If you remember, I also gave you examples like this, that, for example, if something is in my mind, like a car in my mind, that is the image that I have created. There is a passenger in your mind. That passenger cannot use the car which is in my mind. cannot touch even the car which is in one, cannot look at the car which is in one. There can be no interaction. Because each creature depends on its creator and they are separate from each other. Okay? So we can never build something together in our minds. You cannot say, okay, you make half of the car, I make half of the car, then become one car. Are you with me? So we cannot have different gods, each of them being involved in creating this world. It's not possible. We cannot also have different gods with different territories. This has less problem, but it still has problem. What is the problem? Can you tell me what is the problem? I just gave you the example. There can be no interaction. If part of this world was created by one god, another part by another god, there can be no interaction. But what we see is a world which is interconnected. Yeah? Everything is interconnected. It's one world. Even if you are living in the east or in the west, and still you are connected to the whole world. Or you are living on the earth, you are connected to the whole world. There is no separation in the sense of really being separate from each other. There is no vacuum between us. Yeah? We are all connected because we belong to one God. So the only option is that we have multiplicity. We have kathra, we have diversity, we have different things, but all of them get their being or existence or wujud from one God. We have only one ultimate cause who is giving existence, originates. Being comes from only one God. The whole world. Okay? Then, when our existence comes from God, no one and nothing, whether it's a person, an intelligent being, or non-intelligent being, can have any role in our existence, in our being, in our survival, in our life, independent from God. Nothing from outside can come and affect us. Okay? But within the hierarchical system that God has created, and we are part of it, we have lots of interactions. Interaction, of course, can be sometimes mutual, sometimes can be from top to the bottom. We are affected by some beings which are above us, or sometimes we are affected by the things which are like us. But this is not independent from God. Even there is a possibility of, for example, saying that someone has created something. Like, for example, Allah says to Isa alayhi salam, "Wa iz takhluqu min at-teen ka hay'ati at-tayr fatanfukhu fihi fayakunu tayran bi'izni." When you create something like the a statue of bird, hay'ati at-tayr, the form of a bird, because he was making first like a statue of bird. Okay? فَتَنْفُخُ فِيهِ. Then you blow into it. فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا. Then it becomes a bird. So Isa alayhi salam was able to create bird. But فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ. With my leave, with my blessing, with my permission. So you can say Isa was creating bird, as Quran is saying, but not independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So now, question for our Wahhabi brothers. If I go to Isa alayhi salam, I say, oh Isa, you know, please make a bird for me. Am I doing shirk?
No.
It's not shirk. Because I'm asking him to do a bird for me, bi-iznillah. It's not shirk. And if they say, you can ask him for this when he is alive, not when he is dead. Okay? You say, okay. If I ask him when he is alive, this is not shirk. If I ask him when he is dead, again, cannot be shirk. The maximum is to say he cannot do it. You cannot say it's shirk, because it was shirk. It was shirk even during his life. You can say he is not able to do it. Then we say, let us see what does death mean. Do you think death means that a person loses his understanding, loses his power, a person becomes like a piece of wood? No, this is not Quranic understanding of death. According to the Quran, when you die, only your body dies. Your spirit doesn't die. Your soul even has more understanding. And for holy people, it has even more power. Okay? So, it's not at all a matter of shirk. The maximum is to say that you can ask them when they are alive, and you cannot ask them when they are dead, because they cannot help you. We say, okay, so it's not shirk. You are just worried that we are asking someone who cannot help us. Okay? But the Quran says that they are ahya, they are living. They have understanding. So, bi-iznillah, depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people can create, people can help. Yeah? If I go to a doctor, you know, I say, you know, please help me. If I go to a teacher, I say, please help me. Is this shirk? No. Because as a believer, I know, the doctor knows that I am not thinking that this doctor is independent from God. Yeah? Everyone knows. Maybe a person who does not believe in God, maybe he thinks that it's the doctor who is giving shifa. But a believer knows this. You cannot accuse people and say, because you go to doctor, you are mushrik. Because you go to a school, you are mushrik. Why? Because you are thinking that shifa comes from this person or knowledge comes from teacher. You say, no, I don't believe it comes from them. But these are working in a system that Allah has created. They are dependent on Allah, but still they can do something depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bi-idhnillah. Bi-idhnillah, they can help me. Yeah? Anything that people do for us is bi-idhnillah. Even you cannot open your eye without Allah's blessing. Yeah? You cannot speak without Allah's blessing. You cannot wake up without Allah's blessing. Everything is bi-iznillah. So, there can be no God who creates, who manages, who runs independent from God. But there can be creatures who are created by God, and they function in this system, in this hierarchy that God has created. They play some role. For example, Allah says about angels, مُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرَةً. They are مُدَبِّر. تَدْبِير means to manage. Yeah, angels have some roles, but not independent from God. Okay? So, now let's move on to different types of tawheed, which is lesson 17. Inshallah, in 10, 15 minutes, you can look at your watch again. No, inshallah, I will finish. Okay. So, the first type of Tawheed is to believe that there is only one God, in the sense that there is no other wajib al-wujud, there is no other creator. There is only one essence, one reality that is God. So the focus here is on not on the action, the focus is not on the qualities, the focus is on the essence. One reality, which is God. Not two realities, not three realities. Okay? This is the very first thing that I think comes to mind. The second is, there is no creation inside God. So, you know, these two very much come together. And when we say Tawheed al-Zati, we mean that there is one God who has no partner and no parts. No parts and no partners. When you say no partner, means it's one reality. When you say no parts, means no combination. Okay? So it's a simple. Simple is opposite to compound. Basit. Basit, in Arabic, it says simple. One simple reality. Why we cannot have one reality but formed by different parts? What is the problem? What is wrong with that? If we have one God, but God has different parts. The problem is that you can use different arguments. The problem is that what about those parts?
Yeah.
They exist, yes? Of course they exist. If they exist, either they are wajibul wujud or mumkinul wujud. If they are wajibul wujud, so it means that we have many wajibul wujud, which are independent. If they are mumkinul wujud, how can few mumkinul wujud come together and become wajibul wujud? Okay? So wajibul wujud has no parts. Another argument is that if wajibul wujud has parts, it would be needy. Because every compound needs its parts to come together. So, we have only one entity, one reality, which is God. God has no parts. Okay? Then, we come to sifat. Attributes. Well, what is Tawheed al-Sifati? Unity of God with respect to attributes? Tawheed al-Sifati, or unity of God with respect to attributes, is that different attributes of God are identical in existence, in reality. Knowledge of God and power of God, and will of God, and, for example, life of God, they are different, but just in concept. When we want to understand, then we want to analyze. Okay, we say knowledge is power. God must have knowledge, God must have power. But it's not that these are different beings, different things inside God. Knowledge of God is the same as power of God in reality. But when we want to analyze this wajibul wujud, we say he must have knowledge, and by knowledge we mean something different from power. Yeah, knowledge is different from power in understanding, concept. But in reality it's the same. Sometimes you have one object, but different aspects. For example, we can say, this is a book. We can also say, this is a being. We can say, this is a mumkin al-wujud. We can say this is a property of mine. We can say different things, but not necessarily referring to different realities. That Arabic poem, I think we have mentioned, I'm not sure. It's normally used here. عباراتنا شتى وحسنك واحد كل إلى ذاك الجمال يشير. Our expressions are many, but your goodness is one. So all these different expressions refer to one reality. Yeah? Few people are speaking with each other. One says, I have a son who is very good. I am very happy with this son. Another person says, I have a husband who is very good. Someone says, I have a brother who is very good. They are not necessarily talking about different people. Maybe it's the same person. Yeah? They are referring to the same person, but from different angles. The same person is son for someone, husband for someone, and brother for another person. So, when we say God is all knowledgeable, all powerful, willing, living, we are referring to the same reality, but from different perspective. Sometimes our concern is his knowledge of the things, sometimes his ability to do things, sometimes about, you know, he does things when he wants, sometimes it's life. So, Tawhid al-Sifati is to believe that God has different qualities, but they are the same as each other in reality and the same as his essence. It's not that God has an empty essence, then several qualities come and, for example, you know, belong to it or ride on this. It's not like this. Okay? They are all the same, they are all identical. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha says, "Kamal al-ikhlas lah nafy as-sifat." Perfect purification of God, perfect tawhid, is to negate qualities and sifat from God. If someone doesn't know theology, then he thinks, does it mean that God has no sifat? No, God has sifa, but what Imam Ali means by sifa is qualities which are accidental, which are additional, qualities which come from outside and belong. Because this was the view of some Muslim theologians. They believe that there are seven qualities of God, and they are all eternal. And then with God's essence, we have eight eternal beings. Okay? So for example, knowledge is different. Power is different. Irada, Hayat, Sam, Basar, all are different. And then we have God himself, so we have eight God. We don't have such understanding of Sifa of God. We believe that Sifa of God is something that when we reflect, we discover, but in reality they are all together. It's one reality. The other aspect of Tawheed is At-Tawheed al-Af'ali. Unity of God with respect to actions. Everything that happens in this world is an action of God. God himself does everything. He doesn't need anyone to do on his behalf things. God does everything. It doesn't mean that everything else is not doing anything. Inshallah, when you study Kalam, there's a beautiful discussion, of course, maybe some people don't find it necessary, but it's something that was very much discussed, very you know, much controversial in the past. Still, some Western philosophers have this idea, which is called occasionalism. Occasionalism is something that Ash'arites in Islam believed in that. Their idea was this, which looks very nice, very beautiful in the first place. Ash'arites had this idea that only God does things. If fire burns a wood, a piece of wood, you have a piece of wood and fire is burning that. They said, you must not say fire is burning that. Fire is not the cause for burning. And you say, if fire is not the cause of burning, so why when there is fire it burns, and why there is no fire when there is no fire for them? They say, Adatullah jarat. Adatullah jarat. It's a habit of God. God burns the wood, but it's his habit that when he wants to burn the wood, he also puts fire there. But this fire is just for display. Adatullah jarat. When you eat, it's not that the food gives you energy. So you say, why when I don't eat, I don't have energy? You say, Adatullah jarat. God creates energy in you when you eat. But this is just accident. This is just coincidence. This is Adatullah jarat. This is something, inshallah, we study in Ilmul Kalam. Okay? But we don't accept this. Why they had to say such an odd idea? Because they thought that if we say there is a role for fire, there is a role for food, it means that then God is no longer the only doer. We are getting into shirk. This was their idea, these Ash'arites. And you know, now there are many Ash'arites in the world.
Are they Muslims?
Pardon?
Are they Muslims?
Yeah, these are Muslims. Ash'arites are Muslims. Because, you know, we have different mazahib in fiqh. But when it comes to kalam, many of, non-Shia are Ash'arites, many of them. Anyway, this idea was that they thought in order to have pure Tawheed, we should say nothing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has any role. Even with respect to human beings, they said, when we do things, okay, when we do things, even the things which we say they are voluntary, they said, we are not doing them. God is doing them and using us as the subject, as a mawdu, as a place. God is doing these things. So what is our role? They introduced the theory of kasb. Theory of kasb. What is kasb? Because Quran says laha ma kasabat wa alayha ma iktasabat. They say, your role is you are just gaining this. But what I'm doing? Nothing. God is doing this, but God is doing this in your hand and tongue. But then there is a big question, then why God is punishing me or rewarding me? So because they were not able to find a balance, they wanted to fix something, but then they created a bigger problem. Yeah? This leads to jabr. On the other hand, Ash'ari, to refute the idea of the Ash'arites and to refute the idea of kasb and jabr, they said, when human beings do something voluntarily, God has nothing to do with that. God does everything else, but to voluntary actions, only we are responsible. God has delegated his power to us. This is tafwid. This has also a problem. So This is not Tawheed. Mu'tazilites sacrificed Tawheed in order to keep justice of God. Ash'arites sacrificed justice in order to keep Tawheed. But we say that unfortunately you damage both Tawheed and justice of God. We should find a way in between. La jabra wa la tafwid bal amrun baina amrayn. This is what Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam taught. God is the doer of everything, but at the same time we are also responsible. Under God, not independent from God. There's a hierarchy. We have also some role and we have to accept our responsibility. I cannot say God has created this and then I'm not responsible. Yes, God has created this, but part of the cause was your decision. Part of the cause. Ellatotama has different parts. Part of it is your choice, your decision. So because you are responsible, then you can be rewarded or you can be punished. So there is Tawheed, but at the same time, we are also responsible. So Tawheed Af'ali means that God is in charge of everything. He does everything, but not in the sense that no one else or nothing else is playing any role. It's not that fire is not burning. It's not that rain is not doing anything. It's not that food is not doing anything. Medicine is not doing anything. People are not doing anything. No. In a hierarchical way. God does everything, but under God, depending on God, there are different factors. Indeed, we have this beautiful idea that Aballah an yujra al-umur illa bi-asbab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuses to do things except through the causes. If you say, oh Allah, please give me knowledge, okay? Although Allah can give you knowledge, you know, without going to a school, but Allah refuses this. Allah hesitates to give you knowledge. If your dua is answered, it means that you get tawfiq of going to Hosea and studying. Yeah? If you ask Allah for knowledge, then you go to Hosea or you know to an alim to learn. You shouldn't expect that Allah just you know inspire me directly. Because Aballah and Yujrul Umur illa the asbabiha. There are causes. You have to use the causal system. You cannot sit at home and try God changes the regulations and norms of this world and does things miraculously for you. If you want to have good children, you have to do something. If you want to have rizq, you have to do something. But rizq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to do your little part. Yeah? But you cannot say, Allah, you know, please send me rest directly as you used to send to Lady Maria. Yeah? You cannot expect that because then this would cancel the system. You know, would, you know, damage the wisdom of God in this world. Aballah and yujra al-umur illa bi-asbaba. It's not that God cannot do things, you know, miraculously, but it's not something that we expect. So, there is a system. God has created a system. This system has its own internal relations. And this is why, you know, if you learn the system, then you can be very successful. If you know how, for example, you can have good harvest, then you can use all the techniques of farming and have good harvest. If you know how to become successful in business, how to do be successful, for example, in tarbiyah, in education. Because everything in this world is well designed and planned. Nothing happens, you know, by chance. Unfortunately, sometimes we, as believers in God, we put God in difficult situation. You know, sometimes, you know, you feel very sad, you know, that we don't do things properly and we just want God to come and rescue us. How many times He has to come and rescue us? We don't check, you know, our car, you know, tank, whether we have petrol or not. We don't check brakes, you know, nothing. Then we say, you know, tabakkal to Allah. Okay, God can help you several times. But if you keep doing these things, then God is not going to help you. Unfortunately, you know, for centuries, Muslims didn't act properly. Islamic, you know, states didn't act properly. Okay, God, you know, helps you for some time, but success in dunya comes from efforts, from planning, from studying. And now, you see, if you do these things, God helps you. There are people who do these things and Allah helps them. There are people who don't do these things. Allah sometimes helps them, but then Allah says, oh, you are becoming too lazy. You must also sometimes fail so that you realize that this is not, you know, the right thing. If you are, for example, you know, head teacher in a school, your child is in the same school. So he says, oh, I am sure that my father doesn't let me, you know, fail. You try to help your child, but you know that he has to study. Sometimes you don't help him. Sometimes even maybe you try to give him a lesson. Even if you help other people, you don't help him. Because you want him to learn. You don't want him to depend always on you. So we should not expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do all the, you know, things for us, you know, and, you know, fix everything that we do, you know, improperly. So this is Tawheed Af'ali. And then another thing is that Ayatollah Misbah called At-Ta'asir al-Istiqlali, or, you know, independent effect, independent impact. And it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much in control of everything that nothing other than Allah can be functioning independently. This is another side of Tawheed Af'ali. So God is doing everything and nothing can function independent from Him. The other side of the same coin. Everything depends on Him. I think we can stop here and inshallah we continue with the rest of discussion inshallah next week. So we have mentioned argument for Tawheed after a discussion that we had about shirk. Argument for Tawheed, then we mentioned different senses or different dimensions of Tawheed. And inshallah we'll continue this next week. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.